Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Father God, thank you so much for this new day. I pray for your presence, Lord, to be with us, and the Holy Spirit will lead us this morning. May you bless the message and speak to us. Bless this time of worship and prayer. We love you, and we pray all these in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to page 160 in your light devotional books. The title of today's devotion is Take Heart. It is written by Pastor Rick Bates, and he's the executive pastor at Island ECC. Today's passage is from John 16, 16 to 33. A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying to us, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father,'" they said. "What does he mean by this 'a little while'? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice with you, will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. On that day, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have said these things to you in the figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly of the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world again. I'm leaving the world and I'm going to the Father." His disciples said, "Yes, now you're speaking plainly, not in any figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? The hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I've conquered the world." And let's move on to the devotion. Jesus often uses parables and questions in his teaching as a way of making his followers engage their hearts and minds with penetrating truth. Therefore, it is not really that surprising that disciples often say, as here, "What does he mean?" After all, they are simple fishermen and citizens, and have trouble understanding spiritual matters, like most of us. Here, in an uncharacteristic way, Jesus explains truth in a very straightforward way. There's no challenge for intense thinking. Jesus explains things without figures of speech. Jesus cuts to center point to assist his followers with the grief that will accompany his coming passion. Soon they would be suffering in loss for their friend. Jesus wants them to know that what is coming will be transient, just like labor before birth. There's no getting around the fact that when a woman gives birth, she has hard time. But with new life comes joy that wipes out the pain. The joy overcomes the pain and transforms the past experience forever. Jesus tells those who have followed him that overflowing joy will be theirs. He tells them that the Father loves them. He reassures them that he came from God and now he's going back to God. Jesus' message is clear. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Difficulties, uncertainties, doubt, illness, failure, and trials may come our way personally or for those who we love. Jesus urges us to be courageous with inner peace. We are precious to God, and Jesus has and continues to overcome whatever the world throws at us. Well, after reading this devotion, I'd like to share with you my own experience during a very difficult time in my life. Some 12 years ago, my worst nightmare came true when my mother was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer and was given only 3 months to live after an unsuccessful operation. The cancer had spread already. But the first miracle happened straight after the operation in the hospital room when I told my mother that she needed Jesus. So God knew my heart and my desperation for salvation, and she was completely open and accepted Jesus on the hospital bed. And that was a big load off my back, and much peace came to me. I knew that God was with me from the moment my mom was saved at the hospital bed. I knew he heard my cries, and he's in control. His presence was so real, I could see that it was so strongly displayed in my mother's newfound faith, and that gave me the inner peace. But of course, it didn't mean the trouble was going away. Then I said to myself, I couldn't possibly go through this on my own. Only my mother and I were the only Christians in my family then. I knew I needed a community of believers to go through this together with me, to support me. I never had to become so bold. I was sending out regular email updates on my mom so people could pray for her. And I never imagined I would walk up to church altar on Sunday services in front of the whole congregation to hand in prayer requests so that the whole church could pray for her there and then, so the prayers could be more powerful. What was even more intimidating was praying for my mom for healing in front of my family. Believe it or not, it would not have been so intimidating if it was in front of the whole church. But I didn't care how my family would think of me or if I looked like a total idiot in front of them. So knowing the simple fact that I had a community of believers walking this journey with me and an army praying together with me, and that I knew that I wasn't alone, gave me the strength and the inner peace during this period. And as you can imagine, I never had clung so close to God in my entire Christian life. And as I drew closer to God, I focused and exercised my faith on God's character and his word. He's able and is a healing God, Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. It's his will to heal, and if we would just have faith. We even had elders of a church to come and pray and anoint my mom with oil. At the beginning, I was actually quite excited with a lot of real hope. I told God, God, this is the perfect opportunity for your power to be displayed in mom's illness, to make her whole and healed so that everyone in the family may come to know you and experience you. Even my mom had the same faith and hope, and I could see a lot of peace in her, for she knew her God is able. Both of us had this persistent faith. We were going to keep knocking and knocking until God answered. And during this time, she always welcomed the ladies from church to come to pray for her. And as a new Christian, she also stood firm and rejected the psychic that my sister arranged to come help get rid of the toxins out of her system, because she feared God more than man. She was also always asking me to read devotions, Bible passages, and books on healing to her. I was simply amazed just how much faith and understanding she had as a new Christian. So another half a year passed, and we saw her deteriorate day by day. At the end of it, when she was skin and bones, and when she could hardly eat, and we could no longer take care of her at home, we had to send her back to the hospital in the last month. At that stage, I still had hope and faith, knowing that it's never too late for God. Even my mom was asking how come she wasn't healed yet. I had to tell her that I didn't know, but I trust God and knew that he knows what he's doing and that it's never too late for God. I even told her of the story of Lazarus and how God raised him from the dead after 4 days. In my heart, I thought if God would do that, it would be an even greater testimony. She actually lasted for 11 months instead of the 3 months the doctors initially gave her. So alas, God didn't heal her on earth. But knowing God's character and his sovereignty, I still have the inner peace. His ways are not our ways. I trust in his perfect plan. I know he sees the whole picture while I can only see part of it, and it may not be something that I will understand until I get to heaven myself. I'm also reminded that we are only temporary citizens on this earth, and so our real citizenship is in heaven. And I know that each day is one day closer to seeing my mom again, and that hope gives me the inner peace. So in summary, I want to share a few points on how to have inner peace. Number one, inner peace is not the absence of trouble, but having the presence of God. Inner peace, as you can see, has little to do with our surroundings. As you can also see in the passage today, Jesus said to his followers in John 16:33, "In this world you will have many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So peace is not the absence of trouble, but having the presence of God. And in John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Number two, inner peace comes from knowing that circumstances are temporary and that God is sovereign over all. I was reminded in Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Number three, peace comes from exercising faith in the character of God and his word. In difficult situations, we can still have peace when we remember that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's in Romans 8:28. His ways are not our ways. He sees the big picture while we can only see part of it. And number four, it's a choice. We can choose peace rather than give way to fear and worry and anger. You will be able to keep things in proper perspective if you have that inner peace from a relationship with God. We can accept difficult situations on earth by remembering that we are temporary citizens on earth, and our real citizenship is in heaven. In Philippians 3:20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So in whatever difficult situation that you may be facing today, don't despair. You will have the inner peace if you focus on God and not on the circumstances. So that's my devotional for today. And as we go into worship, let's think about the reflection questions. What is happening in your world that could overwhelm you or those you love? And do pause to picture the authoritative Christ granting you the inner peace and sense the comfort of his presence.
Thank you.
let's take a moment to pray for the author. Pastor Rick Bates and his wife, Jane, they've loved living in Hong Kong for the past 12 years. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit to really guide and lead his ministry and God's anointing to be on him and his, as ministers to his church, and also God's grace in their lives. Let's move on to pray for our community. Okay, let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and other illnesses. Let's pray that God's healing hand to be on them and he would comfort them and give them strength and that they'd have faith, hope, and peace during this time. Let's pray for those who are sick but also need salvation. Pray that Jesus will reveal himself to them and touch their hearts, and that they would receive physical healing as well as spiritual healing. Let's also pray for those who are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, that they'll be healed. And let's pray for those who are looking for work. Pray that God will provide and the right opportunities will come up for them, and they will find favor with employers as they go for their interviews. And meanwhile, they can use their time wisely. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for godly counsel and wisdom for our government. Let's pray for the poor in Hong Kong, closing the huge wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Pray for all the churches here, for the Holy Spirit to move and touch people's hearts. And let's pray for and also let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead these ministries listed here. Let's pray for our missions committee. It's Pastor Sam, Pastor Eugene, Jamie Donaldson, John Kang, Sarah Ho, and Janella Chan. And let's pray that they would hear from God and have the wisdom to make the right decisions and the Holy Spirit to lead them to the right mission opportunities. Let's pray for our local outreach, the community center, Igape, Homi, SB Lights, Freedom, Mother's Choice, and Bridge. Pray for the Holy Spirit to lead these ministries and that more people will join in these outreaches. Let's pray for tonight's activities, SPU, The River, EG, McCain House Church, and DB House Church. Let's pray for the presence of God to be there as they share and minister to one another and pray together, and that they would encounter and hear from God. Thank you for the clarity of your teaching that you have overcome the world. Grant us your abiding peace today, and we simply thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.